Yay, there was a royal wedding. Hooray.
Oh, shush. Oh, God. See what I have to put up with, everyone?
Well, I mean, no, really?
No, don't start this bollocks again, Trev.
Look,
everyone. I'm a monarchist. I married a Republican, unbeknownst to me. He tricked me, everyone. He tricked me.
Don't think I ever made it a secret.
Oh, I think you did. I don't think it ever came up in our courtship.
I'm pretty sure it would have come up before we got married.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, yeah.
I'm positive about that.
I think she looked beautiful. Welcome to the royal family, Meghan. It's not my family, but it's now your family.
At least she gets free healthcare now.
You.
I went political and Susie dropped an F-bomb. Woo! Oh, what a...
Stop it!
Great waffle. Well, you know.
When you said you had something to talk about, I didn't think it was going to be this rubbish.
Came from America. She's now more British than you can possibly get. So, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I
think we better stop now.
Let's not get political again. Okay. I know.
Okay.
This is a non-political podcast.
Fine.
Except without Australian politics. Because they deserve to be talked about. But please, leave the royal family out of this.
Leave them out of everything that I could.
Podcast has got nothing to do with the royal family, nor am I sponsored by the royal family, but hey, Betty and Phil, yours truly is over here, and I love you.
On that note, let's move on. What the? History. 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 Hello, and welcome to What the History, your fortnightly bits of bizarre history to make you say what the history. I am Trevor Holland, and I am joined by...
Susie Holland, who has not forgiven Trev for his waffle right now. He's in a fair amount of trouble.
So what are you talking about this week, Susie?
Right. Another person who was in a fair amount of trouble. Oh, I did my own segue. Okay, now, everyone, we have all heard of Napoleon Bonaparte, the successful French general, the first emperor of France who rose to prominence during the French Revolution after grabbing political power with both hands in 1799 and crowning himself emperor in 1804. Expanding his empire by waging war in Europe, Napoleon soon scored a reputation for being brilliant in war with the defeat of the British at the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805. The French invaded Russia in 1812 and subsequently were crushed, and then there was the Battle of Leipzig in 1813 with another crushing by Swedish, Prussian, Austrian and Russian army, with Napoleon giving up the throne in 1814 and being exiled to the island of Elba. Now, I know this is a bit long-winded, but trust me, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. In 1815, he staged a comeback, with Napoleon getting the French peasants on side and marching on Paris. Upon hearing this, Louis XVII did the bolt, and during Napoleon's 100 days restoration attempt, he and his French forces were defeated in the Battle of Waterloo in 1815, which resulted in Napoleon abdicating when he got back to Paris after deserting his army, which disbanded after the defeat. Napoleon was apparently dumbfounded as to why his army was defeated. But this battle is not the most humiliating loss of his career. Oh no, that dubious honour belongs to the time Napoleon and his army was attacked by a horde of fluffy rabbits. Yes, rabbits. And he lost. What the indeed. Now, the story goes, in July of 1807, Napoleon signed the Treaties of Tilsit with Imperial Russia, marking the end of the animosity between the two countries. As I have advised just before, it didn't last long because eventually Tsar Nicholas of Russia found out that Napoleon had blockaded Russia, which hurt trade into the country and opened Russian ports to neutral ships in 1810, which upset Napoleon, who threw the treaties out and went back to the war game. But back to those bunnies. Napoleon decided that the best way to celebrate the end of the war with Russia was to do a spot of rabbit hunting, and, being a busy man, gave his chief of staff, Alexandre Berthier, the job of organizing the hunt and the participants. What possibly could go wrong, everyone? So Berthier got to work organizing the bunnies and participants and managed to corral between several hundred and 3,000 of the fluffy little critters, depending on which source you read, in readiness for the hunt. A tad overboard, but he wanted to make sure this was a memorable occasion, and memorable it sure was. On the day of the illustrious hunt, the rabbits were placed in cages at the edge of a massive field. The locks removed and the hunt participants bounded onto the field, expecting their quarry to be bounding away, ready for the chase. Except they didn't. What happened next surely belongs in the archives of What The, with the rabbits turning around and running towards the bewildered hunting party, much like the storming of the Bastille in 1789, something Napoleon would have remembered. Their hunting party soon thought it was hilarious of the rabbits running towards them, but their laughter soon turned to abject fear when the fluffy bunnies bombarded the hapless hunting party, who in return attempted everything to remove the rabbits, using sticks, clubs, riding crops, and muskets to no avail. Napoleon tried to shoot them, but they kept on coming and coming, and the hunting party were completely outnumbered. A newspaper article written almost 100 years, yes, 100 years, after the Cottontail Cavalcade writes, and I quote, this is long, so bear with me, "All those rabbits, which should have tried in vain, even by scattering themselves, to escape the shots which the august hand destined for them, suddenly collected, first in knots, then in a body, instead of having recourse to a useless flight, they all faced about, and in an instant the whole phalanx threw itself upon Napoleon. The surprise was unbounded, as was Berthier's wrath. At once he assembled the force of coachmen with long whips and darted forward at their head. The rabbits put to flight, Napoleon was delivered, and they were all looking on the incident as a delay comical, no doubt, but well over when, by a wheel, in three bodies to right and left, the intrepid rabbits turned the emperor's flank, attacking him frantically in the rear, refused to quit their hold, piled themselves up between his legs until they made him stagger, and forced at the conqueror of conquerors, fairly exhausted, to retreat and leave them in possession of the field." End quote.
Beautiful.
So Napoleon beat a hasty retreat from the field and into the relative safety of his carriage, but he was followed by the carnivorous critters, who, according to historian David Chandler, and again I quote, "With a finer understanding of Napoleonic strategy than most of his generals, the rabbit horde divided into two wings and poured around the flanks of the party and headed for the imperial coach," end quote. So like the Bastille, Napoleon was surrounded by fluffy bunnies hell-bent on destruction. These bunnies meant business, and even after the carriage began to move, they were still attacking him, with some brave rabbits entering the carriage itself. So the vision of Napoleon... Sorry. I love this. So the vision of Napoleon slowly moving away, throwing rabbits out of his carriage, is one I won't forget for a while. He eventually got rid of all the rabbits and went on his merry way. But why did it happen? The answer lies with Berthier. Instead of looking in the forests for wild rabbit warrens, who would scurry away from humans, Berthier took the path of least resistance and obtained tame rabbits from the surrounding villages. The bunnies were used to humans and knew that humans fed them. They hadn't been fed that day, and when they realized tasty tidbits were not forthcoming from the hunting party, well, let's just say Peter Cottontail and his mates were none too pleased and went on the attack looking for it. So you see, it wasn't just humans that defeated Napoleon. Animals had a go too. Maybe they just wanted to go down in What The History.
Wow.
Bunnies!
Absolutely. Makes you think of the Makes you think of Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
Yep.
The Killer Rabbit.
Run away! That's right. Well, I actually did some research to see if there was any correlation between the wild beast from Monty Python, the Holy Grail, and this story. But unfortunately, there wasn't. But rabbits have been used since medieval times to take on more human traits in the books the monks illustrated. So there may be a what the on that. Some of the pictures were a scream.
Some of them are disturbing, those pictures.
Look on their faces. Yeah. They're the ones who look murderous.
Absolutely. Just goes to show that a critter you can think fluffy and cute may turn against you in some way.
Yes.
You know? And it may even be in another army battle-like situation.
Yes.
Wow, we're both talking about war stuff.
Yes, and seeing how this is a bit of a strange thing for me, because usually I don't talk about wars and battles and things.
Well, it wasn't really a battle.
For the rabbits, they were hell-bent.
Yeah.
They're going to feed me. Why aren't you feeding me? Oh.
Well, let's just say that bunny rabbits aren't the only furry little critters that have turned the tide of battle. Wow, that was a good segue.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, everyone. Give this man a round of applause. Woo!
A mighty army can be brought down by many things. Rain, snow, volcanoes, or rabbits, apparently.
Nothing apparently about it. It's written.
Tactics, subterfuge, and plain old luck can be deciding factors. But rarely has defeat been caused by a furry, purring army of cats. Let me explain.
Oh, my.
In the 6th century BCE, the Egyptians and the Persians had a bit of a rocky relationship and an uneasy peace.
Mm-hmm.
Cambyses II of the Achaemenid Empire was a concern for the pharaoh at the time, a pharaoh named Amasis. When Cambyses asked for the daughter of Amasis to be his wife, though, well, Amasis decided he had to take steps. Amasis was concerned his daughter would be a concubine rather than a queen, but still did not want to have any issues with his Persian neighbour. So instead, he disguised a girl by the name of Nitus, who was a daughter of the previous pharaoh, as his own and sent her off to marry Cambyses instead. Nitus, or Nitetus, I apologise for the pronunciation, whose father had actually been killed by Amasis, decided that once she was safely away from Egypt, she would have no further part in this plan, and immediately revealed Amasis' deceit. Cambyses was understandably outraged and declared war.
It's on.
Attacking Egypt was no easy thing. They had a strong army and had fortified positions at the mouth of the Nile near the city of Pelusium. Amasis had died by this stage, so his son Psammetich III was very keen on defending his country and proving his worth. Any attacking force would have a bad time taking them head-on, so the Persians needed a plan. Cambyses had a plan, and it was rooted in the Egyptian religion, and specifically the belief that cats were sacred animals. An Egyptian who killed a cat would be put to death to appease the goddess Bastet. Should a pet cat die, the family would mourn by shaving off their eyebrows and then entomb the late feline with jewels. In the event of a fire, a true Egyptian would ensure all the cats were rescued before giving any thought to the human victims of the inferno. It was this fervour that Cambyses would exploit when the Battle of Pelusium finally took place in 525 BCE. To begin with, all the shields wielded by Persian soldiers were painted with cat designs, but it was not considered sufficient. So as the Persians ranked up ready to attack, Cambyses unleashed his master plan. The writer Polyenus described the battle in his 2nd century CE work Stratagems, explaining that when the Egyptians took the field, they found, quote, ranged before his front line, dogs, sheep, cats, ibises, and whatever other animals the Egyptians hold dear, end quote. Yep, Cambyses had released a menagerie of animals onto the field, and the majority of them were cats. The Egyptians were at a loss. They could not use their archers in case a loose arrow created a kitty shish kebab, and charging across the field was completely out of the question. The Egyptians were in complete disarray and either fled the field or they were killed when the oncoming Persian army picked them off as they were trying to save the hapless Moggies. To add insult to injury, the writer Herodotus claimed Cambyses threw cats into the faces of the defeated Egyptians until the country was officially surrendered to him. The Persians ruled Egypt on and off again until 331 BCE, when Alexander the Great came along and defeated the Persians, presumably without resorting to using a feline fighting force. So next time you give your kitty a pat, let them know that their ancestors once helped defeat one of the most famous civilizations in what the history.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! So we've told our cat, Raph, that quite a lot, and he knows it. And he's been strutting around ever since.
He always walks around like that.
Oh, so he's always strutting. Mm-hmm. Oh, he is a lovely pussycat.
He is. We must have to get a few photos of him onto the Facebook page.
Because he's our little cat.
He is indeed.
He's a darling.
And on that note, thank you for listening to What the History. Now, if you do want to know any more about what we've discussed, all the links to our references are down in the podcast description, just down below. If you are watching this on YouTube, there's going to be a link to the podcast page for you there as well. I will say, if anyone out there who is familiar with the Bellapalusium, I did only touch the surface level because I wanted to keep this cute and quirky. Some of the theories about what actually happened, I didn't think that. Yeah, they're the theories, so I just stuck with this. If you want to know more, read below. That's all good. Just letting you know up front, because I almost didn't do this one.
Yeah, but it's such a good one.
Yeah, it is, on the surface
level. The Egyptian and Persian wars were quite bloody and bloodthirsty.
Yeah.
They hated each other.
They did indeed. And apparently Cambyses really was not a nice man. But
I wonder.
Let's move on that before I do talk about the theory that I almost didn't do this with.
Yeah.
I'll let you find that out for yourself.
Yeah. Go and do some research, guys.
Yes. We encourage you.
Fully want you to do research. We love it.
That's what this is about. This is about bringing out those little tidbits of history that your more serious history podcast may not mention or only ever include as an aside.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's the whole purpose of this. And the fact that we love history.
And it's fun.
And there's just so many bizarre things.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So, if you would like to get in touch with us, you may even have a little bit of history that you are aware of that you could suggest as a topic.
Exactly. And thank you very much for one of our regular listeners, Matt. Thank you for giving me something to research. So I will be doing that.
Absolutely. So if you do want to get in touch, you can head to our homepage, wthpod.rufusproject.com, where you can also find all of our previous episodes. You can head to our Facebook page, which is the What the History podcast on Facebook. We're on Twitter at pod_what, or search for the hashtag WTHpod. You'll find us that way. Or you can even just send us an email to WTHpod@rufusproject.com. We would definitely love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm, and absolutely.
If you have enjoyed this, please share the podcast around, because frankly, I think there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, I'm surprised by some of the stuff that we've dug up.
It should well be shared. About, Napoleon and the rabbits of all things.
That's just it's crazy.
What?
Indeed. Again, thank you for joining us, and we will be back in a couple of weeks' time with two more bizarre bits of history to make you say, what the history?
Good night, everyone.
Farewell.
I've got a theory, it could be bunnies. I've got a bunnies, I'm just cute like everybody's poses. They got them happy legs and twitchy little noses. And what's with all the carrots? What do they need such good eyesight for anyway? Bunnies, bunnies. midgets.